This is Andrew Lauren Resto with WGXC. Welcome to my new segment, The Second Half is the Best Half, Life After 50 in the Hudson Valley and Beyond. Five, four, three, two, one. Hello, this is Andrew Lauren Resto. The second half is the best half. Life After 50 in the Hudson Valley. Thank you for listening. Today I'm very excited to introduce to everybody the amazing artist that is Mr. Garth Evans. He's an amazing British artist. And Mr. Evans is part of an interesting phenomenon of both hidden Brits that hang out here that I've had the pleasure of meeting, and also he has spent for about 25 years of his life, I would say about 30 weekends a year here in the Hudson Valley. It's really kind of funny how I've met these people, because I've never met so many that have, you know, this life for so long. And they'll meet people here that are natives, and they'll be like, you've been around here for 30 years and I've never met you. Well, this is why. He splits his time between New York City and Connecticut and the Hudson Valley. So please welcome Mr. Garth Evans. Hey, Garth, how are you doing?
I'm good, Andrew. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm very honored to have you.
You're so kind.
Now, Garth has married 25 years ago a Miss Leela Phillip. Tell me about Leela.
Well, Leela grew up between here and New York City. Her family owned Phillip Orchards just out in Claverack, 3 miles away. So when I met Leela, I visited her there, and then we eventually got married there at the orchards at Talavera, that big house.
The pictures were great. Now, Life After 50 here in Hudson Valley. Garth, how old were you when you got married to the good Miss?
Well, we just figured that out.
Yes.
I was 55, I believe.
55 is a great age.
55 years old, yes.
That is my age. And so here you are at 55. Boom, you have this beautiful younger wife that is bright and brilliant and articulate and a published author, and you're now part of the Philip Van Ness clan. What was that like?
Well, I mean, I don't know where to begin with that, Andrew. I mean, it's a pretty complicated and fascinating and wonderful, picture. What was it like? What is it like? Complicated.
Complicated.
Complicated, yeah. Not between myself and Leela, but, you know, just being part of a family that is 5 children and with a lot of history.
What was your life like before you got married?
I was living in New York in Brooklyn, in Greenpoint on North 6th Street, which was rapidly becoming the center of the universe, and living in a loft by myself. I lived and worked in the loft, and I was happily getting on with being a sculptor.
How long had you been there?
I'd moved out to Brooklyn from Manhattan in about 1986. I'd moved to Manhattan in 1981. I had come to America 2 years previously in 1979 to be a visiting artist at Mount Holyoke College.
Wow.
At the end of that 2 years, I decided I didn't want to go back to Great Britain. I wanted to stay in America, at least for a bit.
Wow. So I'm hearing that you're somebody that has reinvented himself many times over then.
Many, t- many times over, yes.
Yeah. Now, tell me about this latest incarnation of Empty Nesting and that gorgeous, handsome son of yours, Reese. He's in college.
Yeah, Leela and I have one child, a boy, who is now 20, will very soon be 21, and who is will be graduating from Wesleyan University.
Wow.
Next year.
Fantastic.
So he's...
good on you guys.
I mean, he's wonderful. He's wonderful.
Yes, yeah, I can vouch for that.
I never anticipated having children, and I sort of had to be dragged kicking and screaming into parenthood. And for the life of me, I can't imagine why I was so afraid of it.
Well, I can. You're a perfectionist, and I see Reese as your finest work of art.
Well, very kind of you, Andrew. I think I was afraid in some way of becoming my father.
Uh-huh.
Because my father had wanted to be an artist. He wanted to be a famous artist. Uh-huh. And he had died of a heart attack when uh-huh. he was 48 years old.
Yes.
And I didn't...
You were afraid of what he had to give up becoming your story.
Exactly, exactly.
Yes. Well, that's
it seemed to be a choice between becoming a parent and having a career.
Well, you know, I think we have to take a look at that generationally. And it's one of the reasons why I have this show, because I see so many amazing people like yourself that at the age of 55 just reinvent themselves. And boom, here's this thing that you were afraid of. And it turns out to be probably the most amazing experience of your life, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of which, and since you were mentioning that, tell me about Cardiff, the Cardiff Tapes, and the Cardiff Project. By the way, everybody, this is part of a four-part series that I'll be interviewing with Garth Evans about the Cardiff Project. True reveal here, I was the director of the play that we put on a year ago this January in Manhattan. And now this play is evolving into a documentary. And part of my installments will be traveling with Garth here on what's happening with the Cardiff Tapes. Tell me about the Cardiff Tapes.
Well, Andrew, I mean, it's telling the audience, isn't it?
Yes,
I think
yes.
I know
everything.
You know a good deal.
Yes, there
already.
You go. Yes.
Well, as you know, it goes back to a project in Great Britain that was in 1971, 72. That placed a number of 16 sculptures in cities across Great Britain, funded by the then Peter Stuyvesant Foundation. And I ended up with a very large steel sculpture in the city of Cardiff in South Wales, where my family have roots. And the day after the work was installed, I made a recording without asking people, without referring to the object as a sculpture and without referring to myself as its author. And that recording I used it in another sculpture at the time. But then and I did have a transcript made of it, but then it really languished for, I don't know how many years it is, 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Until through a series of events, I decided to publish it in a slim volume.
Mm-hmm.
And that then led to other things, including it's being transformed into a script by Leela and yourself and others, putting it on stage in New York, and now in the course of preparing the slim volume, I began to wonder about where the sculpture was, because I'd lost track of it, and it was pure fantasy at the time. Think about what would happen if I could find the sculpture, take it back to Cardiff, and because it was only in Cardiff for 6 months, that was part of the project. It's a bit more complicated than that, but anyway, I began to wonder what would happen if I could take it back to Cardiff and make another recording now, told this fantasy to some people, and they said, "What a great idea! You must do it." So, for the last few years, we've been trying to do this, and it's coming to fruition. I think we're actually going to do it.
This is very exciting.
It is. And taking it back to Cardiff will coincide with a fairly substantial exhibition of work of mine, and put the play on again, and We have a lot of fun.
How is it, I mean, for me as an artist, what I'm enjoying, for example, about reinventing myself and doing this show is that I'm stimulated, I'm interested, I'm as curious as I was when I first picked up a paintbrush. I imagine having the card of tapes come to fruition must be the same for you, as far as, you know, here you
well,
are.
Well, yeah, no, but it's like this, it's, you know, it's something that has taken on a life of its own. And in some ways I had to let go of, you know, when you guys were putting it on stage in New York.
Yes.
I had to very largely let go of my vision for the stage production. Because you guys did a great job and it was a great success. If it had been left in my hands, it would probably have been a dismal failure.
Well, I think in fairness, I was a language interpreter, basically, for it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't abandon any of those original thoughts quite yet, because by taking this back to Cardiff, are we not going to be trying to do another stage production at the university over there in Cardiff, Wales?
I think the plan is to work with probably with students from the Royal College, the Royal Welsh College, or the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama.
Yes, that's exactly my point. You see, because all I did was interpret the concept to an American New York audience. We're going right back to the purity of Cardiff, which means that a lot of your stuff really would be much more, you know, important as far as people would get it. They would get the nuance, the innuendos.
It's going to be really interesting to see.
Yes, you know. Yes, it is. It is. Well, Garth, first of all, thank you so much for being on my show. I'm going to wrap this up right now. This is Andrew Lauren Resto with The Second Half is the Best Half. Thank you so much for listening. Look for more information about what's happening with Garth Evans and myself on Facebook. I hope to be doing some YouTube things also as well, and some postings here at the site. Thank you again so much for listening. And remember, the second half is the best half. Life after 50 can be great. And if some young person doesn't say so, kick them in their Xbox. Take care. Bye-bye. Watching your diet, declining a Charlotte ruse, accepting a fig. When out of a clear blue sky, it's suddenly gallon guy. And this could be the start of something big.